Right, good evening everybody. Welcome to Mace's Man Cave. I'm down the man cave. It's actually a Friday night. And I was thinking to myself, have I done a Mace's Man Cave on a Friday night after half a bottle of Tesco's finest South African Malbec? And I don't think I have. So you're blessed. You are blessed. Most of the time I do them in the morning, but I've been trying to find a time, a suitable time to do a Mace's Man Cave podcast for the past 2 weeks, and I've been very unsuccessful. So cheers, everybody. Friday night. Hang on. Ching, ching. I've got The Tesco's Finest Malbec, which, to my American listeners and listeners from around the world, we do a meal deal in our largest supermarket and our largest retailer. And they do a lunch meal deal where you can get a shitty sandwich, a drink, a packet of crisps, and a snack, which normally, you can get a sandwich, a snack, which is a packet of crisps, some grapes, 2 eggs, I know that for a fact, because I've had that myself, and various assortment of snacks, like a chocolate bar and stuff like that. And so they do that during the lunchtime. Well, you can buy it at any time. But they also do this thing called evening meal deal. It used to be a tenner, but it's gone to £12. And I did the shopping tonight after work. Friday nights, I think, is my new... Well, no, it's not, because I'd like to go to the gym. So I skipped gym tonight and going to the club with the girls to go to Tesco's and do the weekly shop, because the hammers are playing tomorrow. And surprisingly, it's on a Saturday at 3 o'clock, so... There's no chance of me getting to Tesco's on Saturday. So I went tonight after work, and my eyes were drawn to the fact that you could get a main course, a side, a pudding — I don't do puddings — and a bottle of wine for £12. It used to be a tenner, and they had a bottle of South African Malbec, which normally retails at £7.50 if you buy it on your own, and if you buy all these other items, and it comes to £12. So I meal dealed it up tonight, people. I didn't do any real prep for the meal tonight. It was chicken, these really nice chips, really, really nice crispy chips, and I just bought some extra veg like broccoli and carrot and stuff like that. So I join you tonight from Mace's Man Cave in Essex, England, United Kingdom, on a Friday night, 29th of September. How quickly this year is going, how quickly it is speeding by. And then by Monday, we'll be into October and all that shit with fucking Halloween, which I know you Americans fucking love, but to me is just another excuse to just absolutely rape and pillage hard-earning fathers and mothers like myself, with parties and school events and all this kind of stuff, and we have to buy something, we have to do something. So yeah, got that to look forward to next month. Really nice day today. Sun was out, and I've just left the trio of females in this house. It's Gemma's turn to take Millie and Tilly to bed. Cooked a meal. Went shopping. Cooked a meal. Fed Gemma. Helped Gemma put the girls to bed. The girls are in bed. Gemma's got to get them off to sleep, And I said, I've got to do my podcast. I have to do my podcast, my darling. And she was like, yep, fine, off you go. So that is where I am now. On a Friday night, which is like kind of like a new thing. It's dark outside. Every time I pass by our patio, back patio, the alarms go off because we've got new alarms. And we're kind of like into that kind of period now, aren't we, people, where the nights are drawing in, it's getting darker, holiday season's over. A, you've got to work for a living. B, it's cold. C, it's dark when you get up. It's dark when you go to bed. And there's not a lot out there to keep you entertained. So I'm glad, if you're listening to this, thank you so much. I'm glad that you're joining me tonight, where I'm going to muse about lots of different, absolutely ridiculous nonsense. And I thought I would start, actually, with Russell Brand, because he's in the news at the moment, old Russell, and he's a West Ham fan, by the way. If you didn't know, Russell Brand's a West Ham fan. The greatest contribution Russell Brand has given to this nation, to the world, indeed, is the fact that he bought his then-girlfriend, I think, Katy Perry, an all-in-one West Ham United basque to wear at the MTV Awards. And if you've never seen it, I encourage you to Google Katy Perry West Ham. It'll pop up on your Google images. And I think that is the single biggest contribution Russell has actually made to the world, to England, you know, to the greater good. But I needed to mention him because I was kind of getting to like him. I was just getting to like him when he was exposed as a borderline paedophile. And but in all seriousness, he used to be the most annoying fucking twat you've ever had the displeasure to watch or listen to. You know, he started off doing Big Brother or something like that in the UK, and then he progressed into stand-up comedy and all this kind of stuff. And he used to be this right lefty, revolution, blah, blah, blah. And over the past kind of like 2 years, I've been like watching his YouTube channel, watching all that kind of stuff. And I've even had messages from friends of mine on the left who have kind of said, oh, you know, he kind of speaks a lot of sense. You know, there's things that he says that, you know, makes sense. And he's clearly dropped out of the comedian, you know, the comedy circuit, and he's clearly dropped out of movies, and he's clearly making a lot of money from his, I think he's got like 7 million viewers on YouTube, although he's kind of like moved over to this new kind of Rumble platform, which apparently is the home of free speech, which normally means Nazis, doesn't it, and racists. But he's moved over to this new platform, and I was kind of drawn to him because I used to hate, here's somebody who I used to kind of like really kind of like not have any kind of connection with or didn't like. The only connection I had with him was like he was a hammer, and every now and again he'd do a video with a West Ham kit on or something like that. And he actually spoke a lot of, I feel, common sense. And and what's quite interesting is, having listened to him and watched the videos, it's quite interesting to see how the media, they call it the mainstream media, don't they? How they kind of twist his, oh, you know, he's a conspiracy theorist, and, you know, he said this, and he said that, and he said, oh, you know, he said that there was a new world order, or there was a, you know, there was a conspiracy to reduce the population. And actually, if you listen to his videos, you watch his videos, you listen to what he says, all he does is he says, there's been this report about this particular issue that seems to imply that they knew all along that COVID wasn't really a big thing, or they knew all along X, Y, and Z. And then he kind of like throws it out to his listeners and he says, well, what do you think? What do you think? He never says, I agree with it 100%. But the media seems to kind of portray it as he's kind of like flipped over. He's taken a red pill. Or is it a blue pill? It would be a blue pill because blue's associated with conservative, right? What? Yeah, right. So he's taken the blue pill and he's flipped over into conspiracy theories and he's like lost his marbles and stuff like that. But, you know, genuinely used to hate the guy, but kind of watched his videos, thought they were really good, could see some kind of like middle ground. He didn't seem to be right. He didn't seem to be left. That's why I like, there's a podcast called Trigonometry. I really encourage you to listen to it, whether you're on the right or the left. They have guests from the far right, they have guests from the right and the middle and the left. And I just think it's really interesting how the world's changing and how people, there seems to be kind of like a backlash from your BBCs and your ITVs and Fox News and CNN, where they're kind of like all kind of ganging together because they can see, you know, Russell Brand can release a video or Tucker Carlson can release a video on X, aka was Twitter, and get tens of millions of views. And Fox News are pumping out their news on a nightly basis, and CNN are pumping out their news, and the BBC are pumping out their news, and they're getting like a small fraction, a tiny fraction of the viewership. And they must be worried. You've got to be worried when people like Russell Brand or people like Trigonometry, all these people that are going online and saying as they see. I mean, they what do they do here? They couch it as? I don't know, conspiracy theories, or they couch it as like, it's not fact-checked and all that kind of stuff. And yeah, I think there is definitely a large element of the media, like the independent media, so to speak. That's what Brand considers himself. That's what a lot of these people consider themselves. They're independent media. And I do think they do run a little bit loose sometimes with actual facts. But the bottom line is like the world's changing and it's changing every day. Oh, what was that? I saw this thing the other day on AI. Man, like they're just about to release this new version of, is it ChatGPT or whatever, where you upload an image and you ask AI about the image and it'll tell you everything you need to know. So like there was one, it was like, I'm trying to think now, I've lost my, you know, you could upload an image of you and your family. You could say, what do you make of this image in one paragraph? And it would say, this appears to be a family of four people. It would appear that there's a mother, a father and two children, and they're standing on Brighton Pier. Just from the image. And they'll just provide this. I mean, it's getting scary, I think. It is moving really, really fast, really, really quickly. And, that's AI. Have I rambled enough already? I think I have. NFL. I've got to talk about NFL. I know it's not... I know there's some listening... Some of my listeners are not into the NFL, but it's really, really, really exciting. It's back on. I find it really interesting. I've got a group of friends that are really into it. And the season started, I think they're in week three now. I haven't been able to watch my favoured Eagles, although they are playing at 6 o'clock on Sunday. So I will be doing an ironing marathon to watch the Eagles. But it's really interesting. It's really tactical. Any team can win. Kind of any team can win until the last minute. although the Cowboys did, I think it was the not the Cowboys. It was the Dolphins did win was it 70 something at the weekend. So that, you know, that's not one that's going to go to the death, trust me. But even I think I've said before, even if the team is way behind at the end of the, because they play in quarters, it's not like two halves like soccer, proper football. Hand egg is played slightly differently. You have four quarters of 15 minutes and each quarter lasts about 3 hours. It just fucking goes on and on forever because they have the ad breaks, timeouts, all these kind of things. But you can genuinely get, excuse me, oh, let me take another sip of my South African red wine. You can genuinely get to the third quarter and be way behind and still manage to come back. And it's a fact. It just happens. It does happen. I listened to some podcasts where they say it's a bit of a conspiracy theory, it's all for the networks, but they've got to be really careful because obviously if everything was fixed, then it doesn't become a sport, it becomes a entertainment show like WWE and all that kind of stuff. But the other thing, so I was watching American football the other day, and it was names. The names are really weird. Like a lot of people seem to be called Alan or Jalen. There's a lot of Jalens. There's a lot of Alans. But there's also some just absolutely amazing, amazing names. I mean, what was that? What's the one player? Hollywood Brown. I mean, who has a better name than Hollywood Brown? Who was the other one that I remember? Rice Dowdle. But there's some amazing names in the NFL. And like, I was, look, so I did a search up the best names of the 2023 NFL draft. Servosia Dennis, Habakkuk Balando. What else? Every year I look forward to writing a cycle. Max Duggan. That sounds like a proper hard man. He's got to be a quarterback, isn't he? Oh, he is a quarterback. Tank Rigsby. Deuce Vaughn. What's that? Dontani Vinion Wicks and Kayshon Boutte. They're wide receivers. Payne Durham. You don't know what pain looks like until you get hit by Payne Durham. Juice Shrugs. Osiris Torrance. Joe Vaughn Gwynn. Broderick Jones. Here's some other. This one's up. DeMarvion Overshawn. Gervon Dexter Sr. That means, surely that means that dad was called Gervon Dexter. And now he's, oh no. So if he's senior, so he must have, no, actually he must have named his son. So he must have a son already. Nestor J.D. Silvera. Yaya Dibley. Moro Ajomo. This is one. Sir Vossia Dennis and Titus Leo. Kelly Ringo. Jarek Bernard Converse, Amir Speared. No sharp. These are, what are these? CBs. What's CB? Oh, you'll be screaming. You American people will be screaming. Keely Ringo joins Tank's Bigs. Right, let me read this. Keely Ringo joins Tank's Bigsby and D. Marvion Overshawn as names that we've seen too much to joke with. Jarek Bernard Converse, on the other hand, he's new, exciting, and stylish. Fucking hell. Yeah, so NFL, if you don't watch it for any other reason, just watch it just to listen out for the fucking names that they're actually called. What people are actually called over there. And there's a lot of mullets. So I'm supposed to be watching the action, obviously. And the names, you know, drew my attention. But then there's a lot of mullets and beards. as well in the NFL. And I think, like, sometimes you can watch the NFL now and just sometimes see a play and then see the replay and then them celebrating. And you just think, mate, you look like you've just stepped off the fucking set of Magnum. Like the mullet and the moustache. It's just, it is proper, proper mad. Just like, is there a thing? Maybe some of my American listeners could kind of like email me or let me know why it is so many American footballers seem to have, in England we'd call it the Gary Waddle or the Chris Waddle, like mullet and a tash and a beard. And sometimes they wear chains as well. Like, I tried to take the twins on a trampoline not so long ago. Or they had to do some kind of exercise or some kind of activity. And they couldn't do it they could do it under duress. We had to push them to let them to do it because they had earrings in. And you've got these 280, 320-pound blokes going out there playing NFL, and they've got gold chains flapping around their necks. They just don't... Is it because they've just got too much money? So it's like, if someone kind of like grabs me by the neck and I lose my gold chain, it's fine, I'll just buy a new one. I don't know. Yeah, the girls... I can't remember what it was now. Gemma's probably screaming at this podcast. Telling me what it was. There was something. Oh, I know what it was. Swimming with dolphins. There you go. It's come back to me. You couldn't swim with dolphins with ear studs or jewellery on. But so we had to kind of like say, well, we can't take the ear studs out of their ears. And in the end, it was all fine. But yeah, you can't swim with a dolphin with ear studs in. But you can go onto a pitch, go onto a football field with your helmets and your pads and basically batter the fuck out of each other with a gold chain around your neck. So yeah, that was the NFL. Kids are back at school. So glad. It's so nice to have them back at school, although it has been an expensive venture. We've had to have everything, absolutely everything. You know, we've had... new coats. Oh, no. So we had new big coats, then new... So there was new big winter coats, then there was new Max. We've had shoes and boots. We've had the whole uniform. We've had the rucksacks, lunch boxes. Oh, my God, everything. But on top of that, you haven't got just the school stuff because they've moved up from rainbows into brownies. So we had to have brownies uniforms. Although I have to say, hats off to the Brownie Girl Guide Scout Association of the United Kingdom or whatever it is. I remember my sister going to brownies. Well, I went to scouts. I was a Cub Scout and then I was a Boy Scout. I got thrown out of Boy Scouts for throwing a mallet on some camp in Pickering. That's a whole other story. Because I think it hit the Scoutmaster's son on the head. And my dad had to come and pick me up. My dad didn't drive. So he had to come all the way to Pickering on the train. Anyway. But back in the day, back in the 70s and 80s, when I was at Cubs and my sister was at Brownies, the shit we had to wear to go to our weekly meetings and say dib 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 dob 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 and all that kind of stuff was ridiculous. So if I remember, my Cub outfit would be the itchiest, most uncomfortable grey trousers or shorts. You had to wear shoes, black shoes. Then you had to wear the most uncomfortable. It was like wearing a shirt made of cardboard. It really was. Green shirt with your necktie. Then you had to wear your hat. And I remember my sister Jane, she was in the Brownies, and she had to wear this kind of like all-in-one brown skirt, pinafore dressed kind of thing, made out of exactly the same material as my shitty green shirt. Which doesn't matter how... I don't even know if there was the concept of conditioner back in the day, or whether my mum either entertained the notion of conditioner. But those shirts were like, you would be putting it on, it was like putting on a fucking shirt of glass. There was no giving it. It was green. It was heavy. And like, what's the first thing you do when you go to Cubs? Right, let's play British Bulldog. You know, football or whatever it was. It was just all exercise. It was in Acom, what was it? Hallgate, no, was it Hallgate Methodist Church? We had, there was a little kind of like place out the back. Oh, man. Oh, it's all flooding back, my childhood. It was so terrible. But now, so the girls are in, they've just upgraded from, because I don't think they had it back in the 70s and 80s. They didn't, I don't think they had rainbows and then brownies. I thought brownie was your entry point into the paedophile ring. No, sorry, into the Girl and Boy Scouts Association of the UK. But they, yeah, so they've been in rainbows and now they've graduated into brownies. And yes, it costs a fucking fortune, but they are literally going to brownies wearing brownie branded pajamas. They could come back from brownies after their brownie lesson, go into bed, wake up in the morning, and you wouldn't bat an eyelid. It's the same material. It's lightweight. It's cotton. You know, it's just it probably the most comfortable thing you could ever wear to go to a kids club. And that's what it is. That's what they got now. And it's just like weird when you look at it that my sister, Jade, had to go to brownies with this fucking full on. And then she had a bobble hat, wasn't it? There was a bobble hat that she used to have to put in a belt. There was a proper black belt that went round the waist. I'm sure that was the case. I've got a picture of her somewhere. I have to embarrass her at some point. But there was definitely a picture. Well, I'm going to have some more of this South African red wine. Hang on. So the kids at school, it's absolutely fucking skinned me. Absolutely has. And of course, and it actually doesn't end there. Because they go to school. What happens on the first day of school? What happens, my friends, is they come back with a leaflet about school trip, which is going to cost 20 quid each, or a leaflet about after school club, which is going to cost about 5. And I have to double up, remember, because I've got twins. So every time something comes back, it's double whammy. So you got all that to contend with. And, you know, it might sound like I'm moaning. I love the fact that they're back at school. They love school. They absolutely love school. I've never known two kids. I certainly didn't love school as much as these two did. I don't think Dan and Alfie loved school as much as these two do. And actually, you know, no disrespect to any mums or dads or any other children that go to their school. They skip into school. They talk to everyone. You know, I'd love to think that, like, I know there must be pains in the ass. I mean, because they talk completely, you know, I should have had a sip of red wine. Hang on, let me try again. I'd like to think that other mums and dads think they're, yeah, good kids and stuff like that. But, you know, they just can't wait to get out the door. What was it we had the other day? So they had brownie camps. Oh, yeah, they had the brownie camp that I had to pay for as soon as they joined brownies. So that was the other Saturday. And they woke up at, like, 6 a.m. We don't have to leave to go to brownie camp until, I had to drop them off at 10. So we didn't have to leave till 9:30. So they've woke up at 6, right? So we've got 3.5 hours. I'm not kidding you. They were ready for 7, at least. They'd had breakfast, they'd had whatever. They had the uniform on, packed lunch was done. Everything was ready. Gemma went off to yoga and it's 7 o'clock in the morning. What are we going to do for the next 2.5 hours, Dad? I'm like, no, just knock yourselves out. And it was like, can we go? I think Tilly said, can we go to the park? I'm pretty sure she said, can we go to the park? And I went, no. I said, you're going to be out from 10 till 5 doing lots of activities, lots of cool stuff. It's not my fault you woke up at 6 o'clock, you know? So, yeah, we was literally ready for 2.5 hours in advance, which I thought was quite amusing. So what else have I got for you? It's been busy. What have I been doing? I'll tell you what, one thing I've been doing in my spare time. I've got a new hobby. And my regular listeners, or those that have stayed with me for quite a long time, will know that in the early days of this podcast, I kind of made a YouTube recommendation. You know, like I'd gone down a rabbit hole. What did I have in my rabbit hole? There was there was videos about professional matchbox car racing or Hot Wheels racing, where they literally do races and they come in, like people send their cars in to the channel and they'll race them against other cars, and it's like literally a league, it's a proper league. And so I haven't talked really about YouTube for a while, and because of my love for America, if you're a regular listener, you know I love the United States of America. I think it's is it the best country in the world? I don't know. It's very expensive these days. But I love going there. I've got amazing friends out in the United States. But the law enforcement in the United States it's always caused me to ask questions. And those questions have only just been, again, kind of like reignited within my psyche, so to speak, because I've come across a few videos. I think the algorithm on YouTube knows that I've got this kind of like interest, so to speak, in the United States and United States law enforcement and stuff like that. So I've got a few things that I want to share with you. So the first thing is the amount of people who drink and drive, right? It's a fact. I've experienced it. I've seen it. I've witnessed it. I've been party to it. Not proud of it. I have been party to it. Now, I'm not quite sure. And again, maybe some of my American listeners might be able to enlighten myself and my UK-based listeners on what the fuck is the US DUI on-site sobriety test all about, right? And let me explain. So in the UK, if you get pulled over for suspected drunk driving, you blow into a machine, and if you're above that limit, you get arrested, right? If you're above a certain limit, you get arrested. And if you don't blow into the machine, you get arrested because you haven't blown into the machine. Or if you can't blow into the machine, you get arrested because you haven't blown into the machine. Right? But in the United States, I've been watching all these videos recently. And I knew this anyway, but it just kind of reinforced it, which was they stop someone. This video, fucking hell. I'm gonna leave a link to this video of this woman who gets stopped for suspected DUI, is it? Drunk under the influence, right? Hammered. I've never, ever, ever seen a video of a driver so fucking hammered behind the wheel, right? And you've got the police and they come up to the vehicle. I don't want to spoil it too much. You've got to watch the video. Please, please, please. If you do one thing today, click the link in this podcast below and just watch this video, because this woman has no idea where she is. She, at one point in the video, let's put this in, so he's like speaking to her, he's very patient, She's clearly fucked out of her head. She's clearly absolutely smashed. I would say, I would go as far as saying you don't need to do a breathalyzer or a field sobriety test. But I understand there's laws and stuff like that, right? So in the UK, the old Bill would have looked at her, got her out of the car, made her blow into the machine, in jail, right? But in the United States, and actually, the other thing I was going to say is, and it would be one policeman, maybe one policeman and a partner in one car. In the United States, in this situation, matey boy pulls her over, and then within about 3-4 minutes, there's like 7 police cars. Like in the UK, it's just like one police car. You know, drunk driver, police car, dush, are you drunk? Blow into the machine. Oh yeah, you failed the test. You're coming with us, right? I might be simplifying it a bit. But in America, it's like they pull over a drunk driver, they start talking to the drunk driver, and within about 3 or 4 minutes, there's like 7 police cars, a fucking fire engine, an ambulance, fucking SWAT team, the whole shebang. But in this scenario, you've got to watch this video. It's just amazing. And like he's talking to her, and she's like saying she hasn't had anything to drink today, and it's like quite clear that she has. I've had nothing to drink today. No, 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 you've definitely. At one point, I'm not spoiling it for you, but I am going to tell you this bit. At one point, you know how bad this video is when she picks up a packet of, I think it's baby wipes, and she thinks that she's on the phone to somebody and she's talking into the packet of baby wipes, or even she even takes some baby wipes out. I can't remember exactly, but she takes some baby wipes out or something. But she's got some baby wipes or a packet of baby wipes up to her ear, believing that she's either speaking to a relative or a solicitor. And it's just the most fucking mental DUI drunk driver stop I've ever seen in my life. And she's batshit crazy. And this is the thing that I don't understand. I'd love someone to explain this to me. Please, if you're an American listener, please tell me. She's clearly fucking pissed. They get her out of the car, but there's no breathalyzer. Where's your breathalyzers in America? You make them do a breathalyzer. If they refuse a breathalyzer, you take them to jail. But you go through this fucking charade of actually putting some tape down. That'll be what it is. It'll be the, I know why you haven't changed it, because I'm being really specific. I know why you've changed it, because there's a company out in America that earns £30 billion a year through manufacturing tape that they supply to the police that sticks to asphalt, concrete, roadways. There's no other, I bet there's no other, so they bring out this tape, right? This is what I've sussed it. They bring out this tape and they make a line on the pavement or on the road, and then they have to go through this charade of trying to make the pissed up fucking lunatic walk down the line or spin on the line or whatever. And it's just a fucking complete waste of time. You've got 6 police cars there, you've got 12 policemen all looking after this one pissed up person that's clearly off a fucking nut on alcohol. That if she blew into a breathalyzer like they do in the UK, she's definitely over the limit and she should go to county jail. But they go through this charade. Some of these videos I've seen, I mean, I don't watch them from end to end, like an hour and a half long, where they're arguing the toss about whether they're drunk. They're fucking drunk. Everyone can see they're drunk. And I was questioning why it is. But then, as I've been speaking, it makes perfect sense. It's the Drunko Tapo Company, Inc. They're in there, aren't they, with the government, and they're probably funding the Republicans and funding the Democrats, because they produce, and any time there's a That's how the law works in America, in my mind. Anytime a law comes up and says, do you know what? We've realised it's just complete waste of time doing this sobriety test. Why don't we just do this fucking breathalyzer tests? All these senators, we've got this long-standing tradition of supplying, and you realise a thousand jobs will go from the fucking alcoholic, sticky sobriety test tape company of Illinois. They're all gonna be made unemployed because you're not gonna let them do sobriety tests anymore because it makes much more sense to have someone who's clearly fucked out of the head, intoxicated, incapable of fucking speaking, incapable of even understanding that they're speaking into some wet wipes rather than she's having a conversation. This woman, you've got to click on this link. This woman is having a conversation with wet wipes, with a packet of wet wipes. She's batshit fucking crazy. She's drunk. Do you really need to put the tape down to get your pen out, follow this pen with your eyes without moving your head, and stand there for another hour, 45 minutes, with another six police cars? And the ambulance. No, actually, they never send ambulances. This is another thing. I don't understand. Please explain. They always send a fire engine to a 911 call that requests an ambulance. I've never understood that. Or it seems to me that they do. I can understand it if there's people that are injured because a house has been on fire. But certainly when you used to watch Cops, do you remember that? Bad boys, what you gonna do? When I Cops, and even on the most recent YouTube videos I've been watching, someone gets run over and gets injured, or a boy falls out of a tree, they don't send an ambulance, they send a fire engine. Why is that? Can someone please, is that because of the health system? Is it because like firemen are trained and they've kind of like got semi-paramedic kind of, maybe that's it, and because of your healthcare system, because you actually have to pay for your healthcare, and in England we just fucking moan like fuck about how shit our fucking free national health services. Sorry, that's one for another day, one for another day. But yeah, what is the score there? Why do you send fire engines? Why send a fire engine to somebody who's fallen off their bike? Is it because, as I suspect, the fire service is part of a public service, but you've got an element of first aid training and da da da. But if you send an ambulance, you're sending an ambulance to someone who might not be insured and you'll never get your money paid. Is that it? I don't know. I might have to look that up. So yeah, please do click on that link. I mean, I will put it in the description so that the podcast. I've never seen something so ridiculous. Well, I thought I hadn't actually, until I started. So I'll have to put another link in now. I've been obsessed with sovereign citizen police stops in America, and I kind of knew about this kind of thing already through my time as working in the debt recovery industry in the UK. Is that there's this kind of movement, or there's this kind of underground, I might have mentioned it before, where you kind of, people declare themselves an independent state and they don't recognise the laws of the land. And I've seen it manifest itself in the UK through people would send in like huge, like they'd spend 50, 60 quid sending in documents into our office for a £50 fine, 100 paid documents declaring that the it's not valid because they don't recognize the law. And if I by reading the document, I owe them £1 billion because I've entered into a contract that's legally binding. It's all fucking mental. But in America, it's obviously a much bigger thing because they're all fucking batshit crazy. But in America, they've got this thing where they'll put on they'll take their number plate off, or they won't even put a number plate. They'll take the number plate on and they'll replace it with, like, I'm a sovereign citizen or whatever. And there's so many videos out there at the moment where they get stopped, they refuse to get out of the vehicle. They say, I've not committed a crime. You've been driving. Why have you stopped me, officer? And it's like, oh, because you was driving over the speed limit. I'm not driving. I'm traveling. I don't recognise your authority and all this kind of shit. And there's this video channel. I'll put a link down below. And it's all these videos. And in every single instance of these people saying these things, they end up either dead, shot or tased. But definitely in jail. And it's just like, it's interesting to see how long the police tolerate it for. There's some people that kind of go on for quite a while. They even call supervisors. And there's like some people in Texas that go, I ain't fucking dealing with this shit. You get out of the car. It's like, you get out of the car or else I'm fucking tasing you. And they're like, I don't recognize your authority, sir. I don't give a fuck what you think. I'll put a link. It's fucking brilliant. You've got to have a look at one or two of them, because these sovereign citizen things, they are absolutely fucking nutters. Just don't understand. I don't understand where it goes. Don't understand that breathalyzer stuff. I really don't. And this, I still have this feeling about the United States, which, you know, as I said, I love them to bits. But I feel you can always judge. Like that, I might have mentioned this before. They invented the iPod, and there's so many things that the United States have given to the world, you know, other than just interfering with everyone's wars. But they've given so much to the world in terms of technology, like iPhones and the internet. And, well, I think that was a British invention. I think that was British, wasn't it? They've given so, it's like the roads. What did the Romans ever do for us? Okay, well, what I'm trying to say is for a country that seems, in a way, so technologically advanced, because they do, don't they? You know, you've got Silicon Valley, AI, Google, Apple, Amazon. They're all things that we deal with in our day-to-day life, which, you know, I would defy anyone to not touch one of those three things that I just mentioned in their daily life. You know, Amazon, Google, or Apple. You know, that's, you know, USA, San Francisco, Silicon Valley. But they're fucking mentally backwards, right? And I'll tell you why, I might have said it before, so if I have, I do apologize. They use Times New Roman font. I'm sure I might have said this. So if I've gone down this route before, I do apologise. I might have to have a little listen to remind myself what I've said before. But Times New Roman font, like you'll come into the airport and all the signs, all the government custom signs or security signs, they're all in Times New Roman font, and I just find that's kind of like, just fucking weird. And it just kind of like reminds me that, yes, they are this, you know, the world's most powerful country. And yes, they are, you know, the leaders in certain technological advances. But their overuse of Times New Roman font, just kind of, certainly in government circles. Like if you used to go on to, I could be shooting myself in the foot, but if I was to go on and do a search on, I don't know, the city of Scottsdale or some, you know, just a town centre, a city in a state, a particular city in a state, I can guarantee you that website was probably written about 20 years ago. It hasn't been updated since. Every time, every link's is underlined. It's going to be one of those things. And there might even be like a little under construction sign at the bottom of it. And I can guarantee you that the text is going to be Times New Roman. And actually, if you go on to, like if you do a search on Grand National Parks, Grand National? Grand Canyon National Parks. If you used to do a search on Grand National or the National Park Service of the United States, guarantee government Times New Roman font. Absolutely. That is a hill I will die on. I think that's all I had for you today. It's probably about enough. Doesn't get much better than this, even on a Friday. So Friday night after a half a bottle of wine, or Saturday morning when I just woke up, what do you think? What do you prefer? Do you prefer the South African Malbec Macy's Man Cave? Or do you prefer the 6 a.m.? Oh, God, girl's going to wake up soon. I feel rough. Which one do you want? I don't know. But let me know your thoughts. I am going to say goodnight. I've actually thoroughly enjoyed musing today. I hope you've enjoyed listening to me. I was thinking about a song to play out with, and I couldn't really think of one. But then I came across this one, and this is something I haven't heard for a while. Maybe you haven't either. And it's probably a song that is a Friday night song. So let's have a go. Good night, everybody. This is Soul to Soul. Have a great weekend. This way, yeah. you remember? In the 80s. Listening to Pirate Radio. Big shout going out to all the people listening to Soul to Soul. It's Friday night, people. Used to do this with the sound and the microphone. But, in all seriousness, Soul to Soul. If you're still listening, wow. That takes me back to my childhood. We can't leave it like that, can we? I seem to remember a Soul to Soul shop, either on Tottenham Court Road or... was it Tottenham Court Road? Or in Camden, and I bought the biggest, baggiest red jeans I've ever fucking bought in my life. That's not one to play. No, we're not going to play that. I'm going to play the other Soul to Soul one. And I just takes me back to buying. I think I was going to was going to Turkey. I needed some clobber. I went to this shop. I'm sure it was the Soul to Soul shop. And I bought the biggest, baggiest pair of red jeans, bright red jeans you've ever seen in your life. And as I mentioned, I think it was on last week's podcast, you never wore suntan lotion. And by the end of day one, my face, my arms, my belly, everything was as red as these red jeans. But in all seriousness, I've really enjoyed this podcast and I hope you have too. And I'm going to leave you with the other major, major breakout song from Soul to Soul. Have a great weekend. I'll speak to you again soon. Thanks for listening. Cheers, everyone. Back to life, back to reality, back to